The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Well, that takes a lot of confidence to be able to pull that off. So good job, Mark and Linda. I appreciate that. A lot of variety in songs that just happened. And the Lord knew that what we were going to do today, because I wanted to start off the message today talking about a song that has a hook that is in my memory that causes me to think of a certain place in time. And what happened just now is you just had an experience that's going to stick with you for a long time. You'll remember this day, the day that we sang through the hymnal on a Sunday morning. People opened up their hymnal and picked their favorite song, and we sang a couple of verses of that. We moved on to a next one, and it was encouraging. It should have brought you joy. Did it bring you joy today? It does. And that kind of thing brings you joy. That joy is going to register in your mind, and it will hang with you for the rest of your days. There may be a day that you need to be encouraged, and the Holy Spirit and remind you of that moment in time that you were standing here in a congregation, leafing through a hymnal, and for most of the service, Karen and I had the wrong hymnal. We had this gray hymnal. What's the name of that hymnal there? Worship His Majesty hymnal. We should have grabbed the blue one. So we would, if I would have recommended a song, it would have been the wrong number. It would have caused us to stumble. Didn't want to cause us to stumble. The song I wanted to remind you of is not the same kind of song. It's not the same kind of theological depth. It's not even that fun to sing. It's for me, it's not. For some people, they really love it. But it has a hook in my spirit. And I want to read the first few words of this song to you and see if you can remember this song at some point in your time, in your life. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And what's the next words? Down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very, because I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. I'm so happy, so very happy, because I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. That song is a hook song that grabs a hold of you. It reminds you of vacation Bible school, of camp, of campfires as a kid, of bus rides, of gathering together. And in my mind, when I hear that song or read that song, I see constant movement in the room. I've never been in a group that sang that song, mostly kids, that there wasn't jumping around and grabbing things and throwing things and happiness about being together and singing the songs of joy, of having the joy of Jesus in their heart. We're teaching them from a very early age. From a very early age, we're teaching children with that song that the joy you have in life comes from the depth of having Christ in you. It's not singing about happiness, is it? It's not singing about the happy, happy, happy I have in my heart. No, it's the joy I have in my heart. You could have watched TV every Saturday this year, but particularly last night, you could have watched a late night football game. And at the very end of that football game, on overtime, when LSU scored a touchdown, everybody was happy, weren't they? They were happy. Well, everybody not wearing red was happy. They were happy. They came on the field. All those boys with painted white with purple numbers with the cross right here and the hat that now that they're sponsored by Canes, Raising Canes. Did y'all know that? I think they're getting funding now. Those are some of our BCM boys. They were happy because the results of that circumstance and that moment brought them an emotion that lifted them up. It just as easily, just with a few inches, could have gone the other direction, couldn't it? One little thing could have gone wrong, and that whole emotion could have been crushed, and they would have been downtrodden. They would have left angry. They would have left upset. They would have tried to figure out a way that they were cheated in that moment, that because the emotion would have controlled them. But as believers, we have a joy that comes so deep inside of us, our character, our heart, our mind, our spirit, that is found in Jesus. Happiness is the feeling you get when the things are going well. It's based on your circumstances. But joy, on the other hand, is a deep sense of pleasure and delight and gladness and well-being that's independent of circumstance. We all here could come today with plenty to grumble about. Anybody got anything to grumble about today? You could ask me any day, I could find you something to grumble about. Something that, that I'm not pleased with, something that didn't go well, some medication making me feel bad, something happened in someone's life, some worry, some future expectation that I'm afraid is not going to be met. Any day there could be something to grumble about, but because I have the joy of Christ and a hope for eternity and a knowing who I am and where I stand with Him, I have joy. I have joy. I've probably mentioned him before because this is an interesting person that I've studied in life. Is a man named Werner Herzog. If you pronounce it right, it'd probably be Werner. He's from Germany. He lived through World War II as a child, and he was he lived with his mother and family, his siblings alone in a cabin in the woods, and they survived on whatever food they could find. They would eat things that make soup of things that we wouldn't consider edible. That's how much they were starving. But he grew up and he began to get a good perspective on life, became a filmmaker, and he made a documentary about the people in Siberia called Happy People. The Happy People. And in this documentary, it describes what makes this group of people in a village in Siberia at the confluence of two rivers, what makes them so happy in life. And he says about them several things that give them happiness. By the way, they lived completely on trapping and the trade they got from trapping. That's trapping animals. And whatever subsistence that government might give them. So they had a very simple life. And this is what he says about those people. This is why they were the happiest people on earth. He said that they were people that appreciated what they had. So these people in this village, this small village, and it's a good documentary. It's worth, if you can stand long periods of silence and boring scenery, you'd like this. It's a good video. No, it really talks about, it's a very simple life that they have and live. They appreciated what they have. They appreciate it because they know what it's worth, and they appreciate it because it's available to them. We today, singing these songs, had a great appreciation of the salvation we have because we know what it's worth. And it gives us great joy to know what we have. Second thing is, they live in harmony with nature. They're happy with their surroundings. Whatever it is, one of the coldest places on earth, somehow they love it. They love it. They're happy with their surroundings. They are happy because they pass down traditions. What you did today was sing songs. I think the Lord designed this sermon and this group of songs that we sang, this style today, to remind us that traditions are important. We have been singing these songs for 100 years, some of us. And then we've been singing them entire lives. And we got to this point today. We sing songs, and, you know, Karen asked me if I needed a hymnal. I said, I don't need a hymnal. Did y'all know those songs without a hymnal? We knew them. It's tradition. Tradition's good. No matter what popular culture is going to tell you, tradition is good because tradition helps you pass on truth coupled with value. You value those things that you have been singing your entire life because it resonates with the deepest part of your spirit and says to you that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. And He can be trusted. And you've got joy because of that in the most difficult times. Here's the next thing that makes them happy. They like working together. They like working together. A happy church is a church that works together, does things together. Activities in the community, things around the building, Wednesday night lunch or dinner, those things are joy givers. They're joy givers because you're working together. And then here's the last one. I had a hard time making this fit to the church. Just so you know, not everything in secular culture is going to fit the church. But it fits me because Thursday morning I got out of my truck and I was going to walk in the gym at Louisiana Christian. And as I stepped out looking at my watch, I looked up and right in front of me was a golden retriever. And he was about a year old, and you would have thought that that dog was my dog. I mean, that dog just wanted to talk, wanted to hug, wanted to get in the truck with me, ask me. He said, "Would you take me home?" And so I checked his collar. I checked his collar, and he didn't have one. So I looked around to see if anybody was looking at me. Okay, does this dog belong to anybody? What am I going to do? And I stood there 10 minutes talking to this dog and wanting to decide what I should do about it. I thought, well, I'll just take him home. I'll put a sign up in there, and somebody will get this dog back. But for the meantime, he'll live with me. And just as I made that decision, I was turning to walk to the church, to the truck. Around the corner of a building, a young boy started yelling the name of a dog. And that dog looked up and didn't leave me to go to him. And I thought, well, this isn't meant to be. And then I thought, this is this kid's dog. I got to take him over there. So I pushed the dog from behind. I said, go on over there. And he took off. He ran to his master. He was so excited, he acted the exact same way with him. No loyalty. I didn't want a dog that wouldn't be loyal. Well, that's the last thing about this culture that Werner Herzog says is, happy people have a hunting dog. I don't know if that applies to you, but Karen, just so you know, that'll help me out in life. We as believers know that we can have difficult days. We can have terrible things. Scripture promises us that when we face terrible things, we face trials, we know that we can find in that trial joy. James says this to us in chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. We know from Scripture, as we face difficult things, Jesus is illuminated in us. He sustains us. Galatians 5 is another passage that we teach in song to kids. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Joy. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. And we have joy in our life as believers. We may not be happy. We may not be happy every moment of every day. Karen, was I happy today coming here? No, I was sleepy. I was sleepy, and I'm concerned about driving to New Orleans, concerned about flying a long flight tomorrow, making sure I didn't forget things. I double-check it in my head that I get all my medication. You know, that's what's going on. I'm not in a great mood. But knew I had joy because I get to stand in the presence of the Lord and share His word and encourage people, and that brings great joy. Joy comes deeper than just the feelings. This is what kind of joy we have as Christians. We have joy in the friendship of God. Joy in the friendship of God. What did we sing? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. We have friendship with God. We know that we can be encouraged by that. We have friendship of fellow believers. Friendship and encouragement through that. Second thing that brings joy to a Christian is knowing God's image. Knowing His image. God is not some invisible entity out there beyond our comprehension. He has made Himself comprehensible through the person of Jesus in Scripture. So we know His image. And because we know that people have Jesus, look like Jesus, we can see the image of God in His people around us. We have joy in the image of God. Here's the next thing I know that gives me confidence and gives me hope and gives me joy. I have the joy of knowing that I'm going in God's direction. I'm going His way. When I know that I'm walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, trusting in the Spirit, hoping in the Lord, I have joy in knowing what the outcome will be in the future. 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you've not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Joy. We have joy in knowing we are walking with Him, even though we don't see Him physically. And here's the last thing that comes for the Christian, gives a Christian joy. The last thing today, there's plenty of other things. I have joy. You have joy in knowing what is coming. You have joy in knowing what is coming. There will be a day when the eastern sky is split and Jesus descends and all those that believe in Him and have believed in Him will ascend into heaven. I have joy in knowing that. Do you have joy in knowing that? I have difficulty going to a funeral and being overwhelmed with grief without that being wrapped in joy. I've been to some funerals sometimes where people didn't have any hope. That's a sad funeral. It's a very sad funeral. But when the room is full of believers, there is grief over missing a loved one that is filled with joy of knowing where they're going. Proverbs 10:28 says this, the prospect of the righteous, that's those that believe, their righteousness comes in Jesus. They're not righteous by works, they are righteous by position, by being saved by Christ. The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. That's Proverbs 10:28. Now, we know that in those days that we have difficult times, there may be more than days. There may be a whole season. A whole season of your life may be filled with sadness. A whole season of your life may be filled with pain. A whole season of your life may be filled with disappointment. And we could probably check off on a calendar that season that we endured that was very difficult. I asked through our group meet that we started this week, and it's imperfect. If you're not on it, it's because I don't have your cell number. And group meet, by the way, is very, very encouraging and very annoying all at the same time. You might get 20 messages in 15 minutes. You can mute that and go back and look at them later. But in that group meet, I put about my brother who's going through a difficult time related to we've asked y'all to pray for him, to have prayer because he has sepsis-related heart failure. And sepsis came from this incident with a mosquito bite that became something worse, that became something worse, that became something worse. And he has to sit down, they said, he has to rest for 90 days so his heart can recover. This is somebody who lives a very similar lifestyle to us, those that are on the go all the time. He's busy all the time. It's going to be hard to sit. It's going to be a season of pain. That season of pain should not steal your joy, because we know that in difficulties we have encouragement in Christ. But we may need to be lifted up. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. We may need encouragement. So you may need some hope today if you've lost your joy. If you lost the peace and the fulfillment and the understanding that you are in Christ, you may need some lifting up. And there's hope from Scripture. Psalms 51:12 says this, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold with me a willing spirit. And that's an encouraging prayer right there. In a difficult time, David's writing, Lord, restore to me joy. If you're in a difficult time, you may need to remember back to the day that you were saved. If you can't remember the day you were saved, maybe you can remember the week, maybe you can remember the month, maybe you can remember the year, the time in which you gave everything to the Lord and the burden that was on you, no matter what the age you were, you had a burden. And that burden was lifted off of you, and on you was the yoke of Jesus, and you were set free. Back when I was in a consistent place, living in the same place that I was ministering, I seemed to do a lot of marriage counseling. And at some point in that marriage counseling conversation, when that couple had been estranged from each other, I'd asked them to get to the point and talk about the point, spend some time writing about the days, try to understand and process the days that they were first in love with each other. Go back to those early days and think about it. In those early days, what was the feeling like? Did your heart skip a beat? Did your palms get sweaty? Did you have anticipation to be around that person? Were you excited about what could be? Were you fearful of what you didn't know was going to happen? Those early days, it helps regenerate the conversation within that married couple. That principle comes from Scripture about your relationship with the Lord. Think back on those early days and ask for the joy from the Lord. Joy can come from remembering and restoration from the Spirit. Joy is found in God's presence. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In God's presence, there's fullness of joy. You get that right here. You get that when you're together. There are people that have been estranged from God for a while. Maybe they've been busy. Maybe they've drifted away. Maybe they've sinned. Maybe they've moved. Whatever it might be, they get themselves in a situation when they're estranged from God's people. And they come back into the presence. And we could have sang nothing today. We could have preached nothing today. We could have stood here and prayed. The presence of the Lord could have filled this building. And when the presence of the Lord is present, when we feel that and we know that, that person would have been restored. They've been restored in their spirit. God would have lifted them up. You find that in your prayer when you're alone in your home. You find it when you're in your vehicle driving. You find it when you are in the hospital room by yourself. When you lean on the Lord and trust in Him, He makes His path made known to you, and you find joy in His presence. You can find joy getting stuff right, too. You can find joy in repentance. Repenting from whatever has hold of your spirit, that sin that has beset you, saying to the Lord, Lord, I acknowledge I have been sinful, and I turn to you, and I repent. And you'll find joy. You find joy when people speak to you with wisdom. You get a good piece of advice, get something from God that encourages you. You find joy in that. You find joy when your prayers are answered. when you've been praying for a long, long time, or you've been praying for just a moment, and God says, this is the answer to that prayer. You find joy. You find affirmation of His strength. You find joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit moving among the people you love, moving in your life, walking with Him. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. It brings joy to us. We find joy in thinking about the good days. You find joy when you trust Him. Psalms 44 says, 40 verse 4, the joys of those who trust the Lord something to rejoice in. Oh, the joys of those who trust in the Lord. There are people that are holding on so tight right now to what they have, to what they want, to what they need, to what they hope for, what they expect. They're holding on to it. There are people that are holding on to a life away from God so difficult that it makes it difficult for them to even hear from God, to see God, to understand Him, to read His Word. They're holding on so tight. I had a relative that my grandfather was full of old sayings. You may be one of those. You may have known somebody like that had sayings. He said about my uncle, he said that when he was holding on to a dollar bill, he held on to it so tight that when he let go, George Washington breathed a sigh of relief. People are holding on to sin like that. So tight. So tight. I'm not going to let go. But when they let go, your spirit will breathe a sigh of relief because you'll be set free. There's some probably listening to today, some in the room maybe, some on radio for sure, that are holding on to a sinful life that's going to lead to destruction. And I'm asking you just to let go. Let go of your pride, let go of your sin, let go of your flesh, and grab a hold of Jesus. And then you'll have joy, 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 joy down in your heart. Down in your heart to stay. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these words from Scripture that bring us great joy and hope and peace and blessing. And Father, if there's someone right now that's holding on to sin so tight they can't let go, Father, you would open up those fingers. You'd let the pry that hand loose so that they can give it over to you and be filled with great joy. Joy for eternity. Down in their heart to stay. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.